This segment is entitled Stability in Mind, Body, and Thought. So when we begin looking at a problem, whatever it is, a stable mind and body contributes to a balanced, stoic approach to life and all of its challenges. Stoicism teaches a person to constrain emotion and live thoughtfully and logically. One of the lessons that I learned as I began following the Stoic path was that it is not to say that you don't want to have emotions, but to recognize that emotions take you out of a sense of objective reality and move you into a place where you are bouncing about on the walls like a ball in a pinball machine, rolling without help, without control, bouncing off the walls and bumpers, waiting for the result that you have no control over. You have control. The control is of the emotions. The control, or the management, is of the mind. You can manage your mind. You can determine what you are going to do. You will not always have control of the outcome, but you can certainly manage it by managing your responses, managing the way that you approach it in the first place. This gives you the positive outcome. I'm not saying that you should be cold-blooded psychopaths or a mindless Borg. Simply put, unchecked emotions precipitate in unintended behaviors and unintended outcomes. All that being the butterfly effect, that is the key. If you experience high highs and low low, you need to seek help or work really hard to evolve your perspective and responses immediately. Time is of the essence. It is not if, but when you will cause yourself irreparable harm, either physically, mentally, or legally. Many, many people, especially in what we would refer to as civilized Western societies, have way too much time on their hands and become way too emotionally driven and end up in jail, end up in trouble, ruin their lives, cause themselves countless amounts of heartache and expense that divert them from having a quality life. One should never act on impulse except to jump out of the way from an oncoming truck. Those things should not be emotional either. If you practice the process of creating neural pathways and build them with well-planned and fact-based responses, you will survive anything. If you live where there is snow and ice, you should go into a parking lot when there's snow and ice out, far from poles, curbs, and other vehicles. Run your vehicle up to speeds, then try to turn, observe the results, test the limits of safe and unsafe results. Slam on the brakes while you're going straight, see how long it takes you to stop, get a feel, do it several times. Do it in different areas so that you can get a feel on a hill and so forth. You will never know the outcome and never know how to prepare for it properly until you have actually experienced it. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to take drugs to know that taking drugs unnecessarily is bad. You can look at the experiential data. There's a lot of it. But test the things that you are going to be expected to respond to physically and mentally. When you actually experience a situation in the real world, once you have practiced, there will be no heart pounding. There will be no shaking hands. You will be cool, calm, and be able to manage the situation well. You can never calculate all the variables in life. That's just the way it goes. But what you can do, what you must do, is be able to give yourself the absolute best options that you can find in order to guarantee and assure yourself the best outcome at the end. That's the key. Don't wait until the moment that it happens for that to be the first time that you have considered the potential of what happens. These high highs and low lows are identified within the psychological community as borderline personality disorders, BPD. It's a mental disorder defined by the National Institute of Mental Health as a mental illness in people which exhibit unstable behavior, moods, and relationships, all a result of experiencing high highs and low lows. Try to learn to find the middle. These moderated responses. Being happy is an emotion. Finding happiness or finding contentness where you don't have to feel pushed around, where you don't have to feel uncomfortable, where you don't, remember, these are all feelings, all, and you don't have to feel threatened. These are key. Another player in this game is drug addiction, including legal drugs, alcohol, prescription drugs, etc. They dull our senses and magnifies others. The addiction itself causes the human mind to behave erratically. It does not make a person bad, but the outcome is the same either way. If you're high or impaired and you crash your car into someone head-on and kill them, good or bad, they're still dead. The legal results are no different whether you started out being a sociopath or a psychopath and killed someone, were just a crazed murderer, or you were high. It doesn't matter. You still killed someone. There may be some deviation whether they determine whether it was manslaughter or murder, but in the end, it's still the same, and your life is basically over. Bipolar behavior is a troubling and common diagnosis in modern Western cultures. Modern Western cultures have the luxury of having all of these problems, and I use those words very liberally, because in other countries where they're not so lucky as us, people worry about sleeping with one eye open and not being raped, killed, murdered, mutilated, tortured. And here we hang ourselves because we don't have an iPhone 7 like everyone else on the block does. I believe that in most cases, bipolarism and many of the other so-called psychological and borderline personality disorders, the real problem is laziness and lack of personal responsibility. Every human is born with natural impulsive natures. Read the first 5 preface pages of the book, The Caucasian Knot, The History and Geopolitics of Nagorno-Karabakh, and or The Night That Attila Died, Solving the Murder of Attila the Hun. These two books really put it in perspective for people who don't know real world history. You will never again dispute my approach that humans are naturally lazy, greedy, and violent after you have read the prefaces to those two books. You don't even need to read the whole book, though I highly recommend both of them. As civilized humans living in a civilized culture, we learn to check our natural urges to fit into a loosely knitted latticework of social norms. These norms are under attack every day by people who don't want to bother, who have no understanding of history and the result of allowing people to just run without any controls, and the damage, destruction, and selfish nature of humans that will come out when left unchecked. Anger and its lesser behavior, frustration, are two of the most common emotional threats in the world. When people are angry, when they're frustrated, it is a result of a failure to defeat a challenge. Whether the challenge was wrought on you, or imposed upon you, or you brought it upon yourself by lack of action, the result does not change. If you lash out, You lash out with emotion, and that emotional response is going to have a very negative long-term impact. It makes you feel fulfilled for the moment, but it never ends up fulfilling you in the long end. Reactivism, which is what comes from that, is a failed strategy. In fact, it is evidence of poor planning, failure, and actions. Reactive behaviors play to the popular desire to blame others. If you wish to live a happy, stable life, you must take responsibility for yourself, your safety, your security, your stability, your shelter, etc. None of those are subjective emotional anomalies. They are measurable, hard, factual assessments of status. In May 2017, there was what was dubbed a worldwide ransomware attack, or what was referred to as a cybercrime attack, using an exploit called WannaCry, WannaCry. In the early stages of this incident, several computers that handled appointments for outpatient care in hospitals in the UK were affected. The ransomware locked down the computers, encrypting the data on the hard drive, and demanding $300 in bitcoins be placed into an account, in an anonymous account with Bitcoin. The word began to spread across the world rapidly, and the disaster, of course, because it was attached to a computer in a hospital, and all kinds of extrapolations from this came out, and the news media went crazy. It became a 24/7 news story about this worldwide attack. It started in England, it moved in, and by the end of it, they say that it affected computers in 150 countries. This sounds dramatic and disastrous. There were cries for why the President of the United States didn't make a comment because it was such a big deal. There were calls for investigations and all this blather. But in the end, let's look at the difference between how the emotional response was perceived and then the actual objective view of the facts and the non-emotional responses and the non-emotional facts that precipitated from the incident within a few days. So, in the beginning, a person who was a cybersecurity specialist looked at the code using a hacker that they dealt with to crack into the code of the ransomware and identify something. And as a result, he purchased a URL for $10 and immediately stopped the function of the ransomware for at least a short while until it mutated itself, buying as much as 24 hours time before it started to affect computers again, giving nations like the US and others the opportunity to act to block it. And Microsoft identified that there was a weakness in one of their networking codecs, and as a result, they pushed out an update that would correct the problem and close the opportunity for an exploit. So what started with being told all over on CNN, MSNBC, Sky News, Fox, all over the world, was that this was a phishing email that then planted something on a computer, and that when the computer rebooted, that it took over the computer, it had a trigger in time, and so forth. In fact, we now know that none of that was true. We know that it was an exploit that, when it sniffed the networks, it looked for computers that had this exploit where there was a weakness, where the computer was not behind a firewall, hardware firewall, or was not running a viable software firewall, got into the system and was able to alter key important data on the base root of the hard drive and then lock it down. So, this sounds really bad. Here's the point of me bringing this up. Unscrupulous computer support people exploited the hype to push clients into spending money on upgrades, new security software, and lots of billable time. I could have made a fortune from my clients by telling them what they were saying on the news, but I was reading write-ups about it in one of the number one points in the world on cybercrime and security, and that was SANS. And while I was reading their information, and I attended two webinars within the first few hours after this exploit had started happening, I was clearly convinced that a well-secured system was not going to be exploited for this unless people were abusing the computer. One of the biggest threats, of course, with all of these are people going, visiting, and downloading photos from porn sites. Porn sites, especially the free ones, where you can go to and view pictures and videos from all kinds of other sites for free, have been tampered with in order to give you all kinds of exploitive keystroke capturing software and other exploits that open up ports in order to fish and give information outside, even through the best security systems. Please, if you're going to do these things, talk to someone who's a specialist who can help set you up to give you security when you're doing it and not threaten your critical data. With that said, people were exploiting the public. And this is what happens in the prepping community. When we talk about these missiles going up into the air with these demonstrations from North Korea and such, we get into a scenario that is very, very similar to that of these situations. You must put yourself in the mindset where you don't let emotions take over. You must put yourself in the mindset that you will use facts. You will pay attention. You pay attention to the realities of the situation, but you must pay attention to the facts. So that's that for setting the mindset. Now we're going to move into the next segment, which is the realities of EMP and the threat that it poses.